Can you hear the dog snoring?
No.
Okay, hold on. Dogs, wake up, stop snoring. Okay. Welcome to the Resilient Christian Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Andrew Christjoy. And my friend, my lifelong partner, my wife of 27 years, Laura, is here joining me. What's up?
Welcome to another episode. Can you believe we are one quarter of the way into this century?
No, I cannot.
We are officially 2025. Like, it's a quarter. It's a quarter.
And what do you think is going to happen for us this year as a people, as our marriage?
I mean, it's hard to predict because here's my prediction. Really great and amazing things are going to happen, and also very difficult and challenging things are going to happen. So that's my prediction.
Way to take a risk there. Yes. So we are looking ahead at the year 2025, and we are jumping into goals. Like, what are our plans, our tasks that we want to accomplish for the year? And we have a spin on it because this is the Resilient Christian Podcast. The goal is, can we be resilient or steadfast in our faith following Jesus for the year? And we've got some goals to put us forward to be able to do that. So I thought, you know, since this podcast is about people in general and us, that, you know, I'm just focused on me and my goals. And I don't know, how do you feel about that? What do you think?
Well, I would like to talk about my goals too, because honestly, at New Year's, I didn't really have any resolutions or goals, but when we were sitting in church the first Sunday of 2025, I really felt like God kind of put some things on my heart, some goals, some things to work toward. And so while I think that it would be great to focus on you, I do have a few things to share as well.
Okay, go for it. Break it down. What's your number one goal?
Okay, so actually, it all revolves around one goal. And I feel like this year, I need to be much more intentional in the way I approach things. I feel like last year, we had so many amazing things that happened. Obviously, you got your PhD, you're now Dr. Christjoy, and a multitude of other things. But at the same time, I feel like I was kind of operating in this survival mode of just like trusting God, which I think is important.
What are you talking about, survival mode? Are you saying that like our marriage was in chaos, or like the world, or teaching? What do you mean survival mode?
I wouldn't say to the level of chaos, but I would say things were challenging and difficult. And while we met some really great goals, it was a struggle to get there. And I feel like this year God's like, okay, I helped you through that year. I got you through, but you've got to be more intentional. You've got to take more responsibility. And while, yes, it's important to lean on God and trust Him, we also have a responsibility as well. And so I feel like that first Sunday in 2025, God's like, okay, let's amp things up. Let's do things better.
Okay, so you need to tell us what you feel like you had challenges with. You know, what's one of them over the course of last year that you struggled with?
Well, I would say, obviously, you were getting your PhD, so you were working really hard, and just being a part of that, trying to support you, trying to create a home that was conducive to being able to do that, and seeing some of the struggles that you went through, that was very hard. And I feel like instead of being as proactive in some things as I could have, I was like, well, God will take care of it. And yes, truly, God will take care of it. But, you know, like I could have been more proactive in just being more intentional about the decisions that I made. And like one of the things that I wrote down is be more intentional about a positive attitude. I was not as positive as I could have been. So one of the things I want to do this year is really focus on doing specific things to make sure I'm more positive, even when things are difficult.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Okay, so as far as being intentional for you as a follower of Christ, stepping out on faith in the day-to-day world, you want to be, one of the things, more positive. So do you think that really helps, or is it kind of like you're just washing all the negative aside by being like, oh, I'm positive, everything is okay?
Well, if we go back to your PhD, and one of the things that you discovered, you talked about the communication theory of resilience, which is forefronting the positive. And it's not ignoring that there are bad things going on, that there are struggles. It's focusing more on focusing on the positive, looking at the good things that are going on as a way to get through difficult times and to be more resilient. And so I think your PhD study really helped me realize that's something I need to be better about. That's something that I need to make sure I'm focusing on the positive aspects rather than dwelling on the negativity, because that just pulls you down when there are still so many amazing things going on that you can look at and focus on instead.
Okay, so that's one of your ways of being intentional. I love that idea. Mm-hmm. Just being positive, making the choice as a follower of Christ who's supposed to bring the light of Jesus to be positive. And we know that that's a challenge. That's hard in this world because, let's face it, we all have things that are difficult and we can complain about and that get under our skin. But to be a resilient Christian, one of the callings is we bring the joy. We choose to have the light of Christ inside of us. So you are going to this year intentionally choose to do that.
Right. I'll tell you, one of the biggest places I can work on that is when I'm driving. Like, I need to be so much better when I'm driving and just focus on, this can be a positive experience. This can help me be kind. This can help me not drive aggressively, you know, and just like let people in when they need in. And I know it sounds like a silly thing, but we drive a lot. We have a long commute. And I feel like just if I take the time to say, no, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to enjoy aspects of this drive, the time to myself, time to listen to things and not be so negative when people like pull in front of me or cut me off. That makes life better for me.
Now, do you think that really matters? Because come on, I think everybody in the world is saying, hey, I need to be a better person behind the wheel. Is that important for us in 2025?
I do, because I think that we'll make it to and from our home safely. And I do think, like, I know personally when someone lets me in, I appreciate it. You know, like if I'm trying to merge or whatever and someone actually takes the time to slow down and say, sure, come on in, that actually, I appreciate that. That actually has meaning for me. So I want to be that person who people are like, yeah, there was a nice person on the road today. Because even in that, Jesus would let people in. I feel like, you know, remember that old saying, what would Jesus do? He would slow down and let people merge. So that's what I'm working on doing.
Okay, so one of the ways is being intentional, and you're going to do that by being a nicer person behind the wheel in 2025. What else do you have as far as intentionality for your Christian faith this year?
The other thing I'm trying to do is I feel like I need to engage more with my community, my church, my students, my teachers. I tend to be a little more standoffish. Like I just kind of can get into my own little world. And I love the people I work with. I love my students. And I really want to work harder at showing them that love and engaging with them more, because I am an introvert. I am on the introvert scale. I'm way, way out there. So I really want to work on overcoming that more and engaging more and talking and just letting people know how much I care about them.
I think that'd be an awesome move because you're such a kind-hearted, warm person. And I can understand because you are more of an introvert. I've seen you grow over the course of our marriage of 27 years. But I can understand how you just like, let's take education. If you're just in your room teaching, you kind of just want to do your job and make sure it's done with all your students. And that might not lend you to getting out with your teacher friends and making sure you know that you're enjoying time with them and you're serving them as Christ calls us to by listening to them and being present. So I think that's an awesome goal.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. So yeah, and so there's just a few things that my big goal is just the way I live my life in multiple areas, just to be more intentional, be more specific, and make sure that I'm like really doing my part to make those things happen.
I like it. I think that's inspirational for anyone who would hear that to be very purposeful in how they're going to choose to live, because let's face it, emotions happen. Things occur to us in our lives and it becomes difficult. We have to process them. And a lot of times we have these subconscious things that are really grating us and we're processing and we don't realize it. So when we make the decision to be intentional, we can, in the forefront, proactively process how we are going to respond. And so the choice to be intentional is a great one as far as to set that goal. Now, how are you going to remember to do that every single day?
Well, I wrote it down and, I have to admit, I've already like forgotten a few times. So I feel like I've got to like, it's got to be right in front of my face. Otherwise I just completely forget. So I went back and I found the bulletin from the church where I'd been writing down during church what my goals are, because I forget so easily. So I'm going to try to just like place it around everywhere. And I'll probably still, you know how you have something like right there so you always see it and then you get used to it being there and you don't see it anyway? So I've got to be intentional about being intentional. So
yeah, no, I'm totally going to rag on you because there's so many times where we talk about things and I say, would you mind doing this? Or you say, I'm going to do it. And then it doesn't happen. I'm like, why didn't you do this? You're like, oh, I forgot. And I'm just like, make a list, man. Just make a list.
I know you say that to me all the time. And the thing is, I make the list, but I lose the list. And this is the other thing, like this, my phone and my list. Like, how many times a day do I not know where I put my phone down? And even today, you're like, just think about, put it in the same spot every time. And I'm like, that's a great idea, except I'll just walk past and toss it down and not even realize that I put it down. And then I have no idea where it is.
I think you need to be intentional about where you place your phone and your list every day.
Well, the list is on my phone. So once I lose the phone, it's all gone.
So. I gotcha. So does that cover the basics for you in 2025?
Yeah, it does. That's the main thing for me. That's really what I'm going to be intentional about, being intentional. Yes.
Outstanding. So let's get to my favorite subject, me. Okay. Let's talk about my goals for 2025. And for me, I'm very similar to you. My goal number one is in everything I do, no matter what, I want to radiate the joy of Christ. And there are times when that's challenging just for you. For example, I get up and I drive early in the morning to the gym. That's where it becomes a challenge because I can be doing my prayer time and listening to the Bible. And then if somebody's driving in a way that's really annoying or cuts me off, I'm just like, you know, how can I radiate the joy of Christ in this moment? And that's where those decisions start to make the difference. And then I go to the gym and it's like somebody takes the weight machine that I was going to use, or they take the weights off my rack that I'm currently using. And I'm like, okay, how can I choose to radiate the joy of Christ in this moment? And it becomes very challenging. And yet that is the drill. In those small moments, we make the choice to live out our goals or not. So for me, those are the times when I have to take a step back and decide, yes, I want to radiate the joy of Christ in everything I do. So there's a number of ministries that I say, or callings that I feel from God in different areas, but no matter what I do, I want people to see Christ in me. And if I'm the person who's driving aggressively or mean, or if in the gym I get upset and have a mean face even, that's where I practice radiating the joy of Christ. And so that folds into every other aspect of my life. But that's where it starts, just like you.
Well, and one of the things that I was thinking about, a conversation we had this weekend, like you work and you work and you work and you are in this moment, you do great. In this moment, you do great. In this moment, you do great. And then there's just that one moment that you're trying so hard to radiate the joy of Christ and it gets you. Like you don't win, you know, like you want to do better, but it just catches you off guard.
Yep, I have that same troll. I'll do so well for so long, like all day long, like, yeah. And then you're coming out of the Sam's parking lot and somebody cuts you off. And it's like, that's the moment where you finally had enough. You're like, ugh.
Okay? Yes.
that's part of it. That's also the humble aspect of what I'm learning as well. But if you can see here, like here's my list, okay? All these items here that I've broken down are my goals for the year. And number one is to radiate the joy of Christ. I want people to see Christ in me no matter what I'm doing. Okay. One of the ways that I specifically have to do that, to radiate the joy of Christ, would be to keep myself on track with that, is to make sure I have a specific prayer time 3 times per day. Now, that might seem like a lot. So in the morning, it is. So in my commute, which is basically like 30 minutes driving from the country where we live down to the gym, College Station, where I teach also, that's when I do my extended listening to the Bible and prayer time, where I'm specifically praying for people and things that I think God's called me to, and requests, you know, or praises to God. So that's a longer time. And then you go through the day, you know, it's common for us to maybe kind of forget that we have our goal of radiating the joy of Christ. And so around noon each day, I will also pray again, and that gets me back on track. And then in the evening before I go to bed, I'll pray again specifically and be like, okay, how did I do this day? And how can I set myself to be a person who glorifies the Lord tomorrow? But those are ways that I make sure that I remember it throughout the day. And it is a lot. It is a lot. But remember, being a disciple of Christ is not easy. It is a challenge. It's hard work. It's easier just to be like, okay, well, I hope the Lord speaks to me today, and my emotions might be all over the place. I don't know. But like, the choice is to be resilient. You have to set the conditions for resilience. So for me, that's one of the ways that I do that. Okay. So the other thing that I would do on here for radiating the joy of Christ is that I memorize 49 scriptures. So right now I've got 36 memorized, and my goal for this year is to raise that up to 49. And I think I'm doing a really good job for the most part. There's some longer scriptures that I will kind of forget if I don't work on them consistently. So my goal is to make that, I think it's like 49. So that's 7 verses every single day. 7 times 7 is 49. That's why I'm doing it. And so I'll pick one during the day. For example, mine today was Zechariah 4:6, which says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And then I kind of think about that as I'm lifting weights. I think about it as I'm walking to teach class. Think about it on the drive home and things like that. So if I want to be a person who radiates the joy of Christ, that's how I do it. But I have to be, like you, intentional.
But I would say I'm working on being intentional. You are very disciplined, and you work hard on discipline, just like memorizing verses, making sure that you are praying 3 times a day. And I'm just out here like, okay, I'm just going to be more intentional about being positive. Like, I admire your level of discipline, and it amazes me, because I don't have that level. Like, I don't know what it is. I would love to say I'm that disciplined, but I'm not there.
So goal number one for me is to radiate the joy of Christ in everything that I'm doing. Goal number two is something that I have not been intentional on in the past. Yes, I'll do some work as a teacher or as a youth minister in church, but I want to be very clear on this one. My goal for this year is to mentor younger men to follow Christ, and how to do that specifically. And I want to pick out a few guys, and I've already started the process. I have a couple that I'm working with, but I want to make sure I am continually meeting with these young men to help them lock onto what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And some key ways they can do that are to make sure they're praying every single day specifically, and not just in a feeling as you're going throughout the day, which that's fine. That's great to have a continual conversation with the Lord. But my goal is to actually mentor them to have a rich prayer life and discipleship, reading through scriptures and the Bible. And I need to do that by having at least one person every single week that I'm meeting with, whether it's over like breakfast or the phone or a Zoom call, but to help them engage in what it means to really walk with Christ. So that is my way of being intentional for my second goal this year.
I like that one, and because I think that it's not just focusing on you that way, but really taking what you feel and the discipline you want to have, and the way you want to radiate Christ, and sharing that with other people, so that it's not just contained to you, but you can touch them, and then they can touch others, and that's how you get that huge network going. But it has to start somewhere, and I think it's amazing that you want to be that starting point.
And another goal with that is that Christ has called us to be in communion with other believers. So what I'm asking these young men to do is to be in church every Sunday. Now, to be a Christian means to follow Jesus. Does it mean you have to be in church? No, it doesn't. However, if the Lord has called me as part of my ministry and calling to grow leaders, then it is really important for those leaders or those young men who I am mentoring to be engaged and committed to being in worship with his people every single Sunday. And commonly, I will find young men who have faith, but they're just not making the effort to be in church. And, you know, I get it. Church, let's face it, can be really annoying because there's people there. And those people have opinions and they have differences, and it is challenging. It's hard. It's easier to not go to church on that aspect. And yet, as disciples of Christ and people who he is calling to be leaders, it's really important for us to grow into his community of people and to be in church. Because when you're in church, you create a network which helps you grow. And then you help them grow. Not to mention, you're in a place where you are worshiping in communion with other people. And that does things for us on our spiritual walk, which enhances our growth, our joy, and our connection to the Lord as a body of believers. So that's my goal number two.
It increases our resilience too, because one of the things about being a resilient person is having those networks. And I think specifically for the resilient Christian, you need to have those Christian networks where, yeah, people are annoying, but that's how you learn to be a good Christian, is by those constant interactions and learning how to build relationships despite differences you may have, despite maybe different viewpoints or ways of approaching life. That's how you build strong networks. That's how you learn how to be a strong Christian, is by being around others and experiencing that network one-on-one.
That's right. It's extremely important. It is challenging. You do have to make an effort, but that's what Christ calls us to do. Okay? That's number one. Number two. So number three goal for me this year is to be in the best shape of my entire life, which I'm in really good shape right now. I would say that I'm in maybe the best shape I've been in my life. I'm 49 years old and I work out almost every day. This morning I weighed 198 pounds. That's not acceptable for me, okay? I want to be more like 188, 185. And the truth is, we came through the holidays and it's cold. And when it's the holidays and cold, you want to eat a little bit more. So that's definitely what I've done. But the kind of person I want to be for the Lord is someone who feels so good in their body that I'm able to do the multiple things all day long that he's called me to do. One of those is being a passionate educator. Another one is playing music for an extended period of time in churches, and I have to be in really good shape to do that, because we all know what it feels like to be in a place where you just don't really feel that great about yourself because you're not in the shape that you want to be. Then add that to something like playing baseball to glorify the Lord, which is what I do, and if I'm not in top shape, then I cannot last as long as I want to as a pitcher. My legs start to get tired, my conditioning is weaker, and I only pitch a few innings instead of like the entire game. And so for me to be the person I want to be for Christ and be able to glorify him, one of the ways I choose to do that this year is to discipline my body through eating and through working out every single day. So I'm in good shape. I'm in really good shape. But I want to be in the best shape of my life. Why not? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because of these things that the Lord has called me to or given me the opportunity to do, like playing baseball, playing music, standing in front of 80 kids at Texas A&M to be their instructor. I want to feel really good and be able to give them all of my energy and passion and not be held back by not really feeling that great or self-consciously thinking about how, you know, my gut is cutting into my belt. I'm going to discipline that this year. And I think God calls us to do that, to be disciplined, because our bodies are temples, blessings that he's given us. And we have to learn how to figure that out. I don't know. Right. What do you feel about your body?
Well, again, discipline is your thing. And I do work. I work out in the mornings. I walk on the treadmill, and then I do stretching and some core things. And, But also, one of the things that I'm trying to be more intentional about is taking care of the home. And so when I get up in the morning, I work out, but I also set aside time in the morning to do things like vacuum the house or maybe catch up on some dishes or possibly some laundry. But yeah, it is a part of my life. But I feel like, here's what I feel like with you. Like, you understand the blessings of, you have baseball, you have music, you have instructing, and all of those things take physical effort. And I really think that your desire to be in the best shape of your life is to maximize that blessing as best as you can and to show God, I appreciate so much, especially with baseball. I just think that's the ultimate. I think you appreciate so much that you have that back in your life that you don't want to do anything to seem like you don't care about it. And so you go above and beyond to make sure you are doing everything you can to get maximum benefit from that blessing. And so I feel like that's a really driving factor for you, is recognizing how huge of a blessing that is and making sure you're doing your part to continue with it.
Absolutely. Because I remember what it felt like when I was younger and in college, and I wasn't in that great of shape trying to play baseball, and then looking at pictures of myself being like, man, I wish I would have slimmed down some more for that. I cannot stand that feeling. And it's like, those years I talked myself into allowing that type of compromise. And the truth is, you know, we can all look at ourselves and say, yeah, we look good. And I appreciate what God has done for me. And I'm making some compromises. And that's what I have to do to live this life. I understand that. I have been that. What I'm saying is, I feel like at 49 years old, God has given me the abilities to do some incredible things. And one of them is to play baseball at a pretty, for me, like a pretty high level, right? And like, I've been an all-star twice down in Houston, and I'm 49 years old. So I want to keep enjoying that. And I think God has called me to go all in on my fitness and discipline so that he can do some amazing things in me down the line, but it takes me keeping that commitment on a daily basis. So what exactly does that look like for me? If I say I want to be in the best shape of my life, really, I want to be down below 185. So that's like 10, 13 pounds at this point, as far as what I need to do. And that's fine. That's not out of balance. I think that's completely doable. And I'm going to focus on that by stepping back up to what I generally do, which is working out every single morning and eating to where I'm like not having large portions. I'm not eating late at night, and I'm not eating more junk stuff. Like these days, I don't drink any sodas. I don't eat sugar or anything like that, but sometimes I'll eat some carbs. And the holiday season, it did pile up a little bit. So now it's time to bring all that back in, be disciplined, because I have some things I want to do. And one of them is being in the top shape of my life.
Well, and one of the things that I was just thinking about as you're talking is, like I said, your discipline is your big thing. And I am not as disciplined as you are. But I also feel like we are a good balance because you really push me. And I've asked you to do that, to like help me be more disciplined. But at the same time, I feel like I can benefit you from going too far over the edge with your discipline, but focusing too much on that and losing the personal touch aspect. So I feel like we're a good balance for each other. You push me in a direction I need to go. I don't want to be more disciplined. Honestly, I do not. We both know this. Yeah. But and I've even like I think I act like a baby sometimes when you say things, and I will really kind of pitch a fit, and then in the next breath say, but please keep pushing me because I understand I need it, right?
Yeah, so, no, that's really hard. That's hard because, you know, there'll be a few days where you don't work out, and I'll be like, okay, what am I going to say here? And I'm like, hey, sweetie, how's your, I know the answer, and I'm like, how's your workouts going? And I'm like, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this one.
Yeah, you do, but understand, audience, I've asked Andy to do that. I've repeatedly asked him, please keep me focused. And it's been a 27-year journey, and I hate that he does that, but I love that he does that. And I continue to ask him to help me because I know I'm not a disciplined person, but I know I want to be that person. And when he asks me, you know, how's it going, I get the wake-up call that I need. And do I hate it and pitch a fit and act like a baby? Absolutely. But my next breath is literally, but please don't quit asking. Please don't quit pushing. You know, I need that. I know that I'm a better person because Andy pushes me to be a better person.
But that's a two-way street because, yes, I might have some discipline as far as working out. And so I ask you here and there when maybe I feel like you could be slacking, and that's a challenge. But it comes back, the pendulum swings the other way because I am a person who can be nice and kind, but I tend to be more type A and focused on results and achievements. So I can commonly get over the top on that. And you will call me out by saying things like, okay, you know, this last comment, you said the right thing. Your words were right, but your tone was really mean. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I said all the right words. How could I be wrong? But then when you present it, I'm like, okay, no, you're right. I had a tone, an underlying tone there that was like really mean. And so you help me find balance as well. So if I help you work out, you help me be a nicer person, which is what I really want to do. So if my ultimate goal is to glorify the Lord in all that I do, one of the ways I definitely want to do that is here in the home with you. I want to be super nice to you because of all the things you do for me, and I love you. You make me a better person. So that's how you help me. And it is hard for me to hear that because no one likes to be told they're doing something wrong. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't say anything. I said all the right words, but it is what it is.
I like it because you'll be like, well, all I said was, do you think you should be working out? And that is not how you said it like the first time. So it is funny to like, 27 years, we're still working on this.
Yes. So there we are. That's a half hour show. Those are a few of our goals for 2025. There's a lot more we could talk about, but we're going to stop right there. And the reason why we present this to you is that we want to encourage you, to inspire you to walk by faith with Jesus as well. It is difficult. The thing about it is you have to proactively choose and be intentional about being a resilient Christian because the Christian faith is wonderful. The great thing is Jesus died on the cross to wash away our sins and we're completely forgiven. But then becomes the discipleship of following him, and that takes growth. And growth sometimes is very challenging. Sometimes it hurts, you know, but then you get stronger and you're more resilient and you have a better ability to carry others around you and lift them up and point them to way to Jesus. That's our point with this podcast. We really thank you for listening in. Listen, if you would subscribe to all of the audio platforms that we're on. Maybe you get on one of those. Subscribe to our podcast here. If you listen and watch on YouTube, if you would like the show and subscribe so we can get you out our content as soon as possible. We really appreciate it. But now is the official ending that Lara loves to offer. So action.
Okay, here's my official ending. Can you hold up your list? Of resolutions.
Well, I don't want to hold it up because people might read the details.
Well, just. So there's Andy's and here's mine. So you can see the difference. And I guess I just want to point out, no matter where you are, some of you have long lists, some of you have short lists. But the thing is focusing on where God wants you to be and being on your own personal journey to make sure you are a resilient Christian doing the things he's called you to do. Your list will never be too long or too short as long as you are focusing on the things that God wants you to do.
And thanks for stopping by.